Psalm 51, the text will be from the Sermon on the Mount. Psalm 51, for the director of music, a psalm of David, when the prophet came to him after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done as evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will turn back to you. Save me from blood guilt, O God, the God who saves me, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. In your good pleasure, make Zion prosper. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then there will be righteous sacrifices, whole burnt offerings to delight you. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. Read that in connection with Matthew 5, the fourth verse, which is the second beatitude. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Dear people of God, called to be saints, let us keep in mind as we look at this beatitude that the theme of Christ's sermon is the kingdom of God is a spiritual reality. He proclaiming to the people of Israel that the kingdom of heaven is at hand because he is there, the king. And he is describing the characteristics of the kingdom, or rather, use the characteristics of kingdom citizens. And so, as he begins, he says, very surprisingly, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom. And he follows that up with another statement that is really kind of puzzling. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. If you are blessed, why are you mourning? And if you are mourning, how are you blessed? Jesus, when he makes these statements, is showing the radicality of the kingdom of heaven. It is totally at odds with what men expect of a kingdom. You know very well, we are attracted to those who are happy, those who are upbeat. You know very well, if we want to be successful, be positive, be happy, be confident, be pleasant. Because whoever is attracted to people who are sad. Jesus' description of the Christian strikes us as a little odd. Mourning, a character trait of kingdom citizens? Who wants that kind of a kingdom? So we ask our Lord, what are you trying to say? And the word mourn means a sorrow that comes from within, involving a sense of a profound loss that just affects the way we live. Last time we saw that there was this poverty of spirit, recognition that we can't do anything to save ourselves. Well, this follows directly upon us. If we can't do anything to save ourselves and we are sinful, then there's this awareness, this deep sense of loss. It involves a sorrow. There are different kinds of sorrow. There is a sorrow that can lead to repentance, and there is another that can lead, in fact, to death. We can, for example, go out and live a life of immorality, and then as we are doing so, contract a terrible disease. A disease that may infect our children, can bring out troubles in marriage, in family, church, society. And that definitely would cause us grief, because we're experiencing the consequences of our behavior. But it may not be a grief because of the behavior itself. In fact, we might continue to go on living in immorality because we enjoy it. Or we may give it up because we're afraid of great results if we don't. But we may not be mourning deep within because we have offended God. Now we who by the grace of God know the Lord, we understand that our sin deeply offends God. And that bothers us. Not because of the consequences, but because of the offense to the Lord. Jesus is not here saying, blessed are those, or favored by God, are those who go around with a morbid spirit and in a sad manner, who have a heavy and a depressed spirit. It's not what Jesus is saying. You know that there are people who are by nature more melancholic. They sink easier into depression. There are people who are introvert and can easily develop an improper self-view. And Jesus is not saying of those people, you are favored of God. Jesus is not saying, blessed are those people who go on and on and on in their grief and who refuse to be comforted. Because there are people that they do refuse to be comforted. There are people that actually enjoy being a little bit miserable. They tend to be self-absorbed, or they are afflicted with a serious disorder. Jesus is not thinking of people like that. He's describing a spirit-inspired characteristic, not a natural thing. Jesus is speaking of a spiritual grief. He is introducing the reign of Jesus Christ into the world. A new and a radical kingdom. And you know very well that when people come to know Jesus Christ and all of his beauty, the first thing they understand is their sin. and they grieve because of it. That's what Jesus is saying. First characteristic of a kingdom citizen is they realize they're lost. And along with that awareness comes this awareness. We've offended the majesty of the Most High. We cannot make it right in ourselves. That's what Jesus is saying. That's a first sign of a kingdom citizen. And I emphasize, this is not just a grieving because of external sins or problems in our life. It's not a grieving simply because of the nasty effects of sin. It's that heartfelt sorrow for a deep-rooted nature of sin in our life. It's the bitter weeping of Peter after his denial of Christ. It's not the weeping of Judas after he betrayed Christ. Many people admit sin. Many people admit they make serious mistakes. Many people will say, yes, they are sinners. But are they deeply grieved by it? Do we mourn the fact of our fall and what we've lost in it? How many of us weep bitter tears because we sin against God? How many of us follow the example of the publican who smote his breast as he cried out, God have mercy on me, a sinner? How many of us follow the example of the converts at Jerusalem on Pentecost who struck to the heart, cried out in desperation, what must we do to be saved? Jesus is proclaiming that the favor of God rests on those who mourn, not only because of their sinful deeds, but because of the sin that is so deeply rooted within them. Because of the sinfulness from conception on that we read about in Psalm 51. Why do I do the things that I do? You've probably asked that question many times for words that you've said and actions that you've shown to others. Why did I do that? Why do I say these things? What is it in me that makes me unable to forgive another person? What is it that makes me so fascinated with the things of this creation and this world? What is it that causes our constant spiritual struggle? What causes our evil thoughts of others? Our tendency to gossip and to slander? Where does that come from? And with the Apostle Paul, we who know Christ say, O wretched man that I am. This mourning that Jesus is speaking about here is not just a mourning because I have sinned. It is a mourning that is, you'd say, corporate. It's mourning over the sins that we share as a congregation. It's a mourning over sins that burden those around us in our society. We grieve deeply for people who are imprisoned in deep misery because of their sin or because of the impact that society's sin has had on them. We're paying for those who are stuck in poverty, who are victims of abuse or racism, of addiction. And we cry out to God, God, show mercy. Not just to us, but show mercy to those who are trapped in sin or lost. We are a people who mourn sin. The Spirit indicates this type of character when he says that not only creation groans, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. That, Jesus says, typifies the believer. We are a people who long for the day of complete liberation. Not only for ourselves, We want to see it for all creation, for all people. Some people struggle with the fact that we keep talking about sin. Why can't we just confess our sin and be done with it, and then just go on living in happiness and in joy? Well, because it's not the trait of a Christian. That's not the trait of a Christian, just to overlook sin. Jesus here uses a verb that implies not just a past sorrow, but an ongoing sorrow, as if to say, blessed, happy, or favored by God are those who have mourned in the past, who do so in the present, and who will grieve in the future until all things are made new. Christians are a people who take sin seriously. We never dismiss it in a light and joking or laughing way that is so characteristic of the world. No. Saying that, I want to acknowledge, it is easy, particularly when we watch the TV and so on, it's easy to be influenced by the lighthearted way that society shrugs off sin. Sitcoms are really good at doing this. And if we watch a lot of that, we can become a little bit callous ourselves to the joking, the blasphemy, the slander, the gossip, the immorality, and such things. We can become so used to these things that we don't even notice them. They don't grieve us as they grieve the Lord. Is it being morbid? Do you think it's a killjoy to take sin seriously? Should we simply talk about the joy of salvation and put on the positive side of Christianity, the joy we have in Christ? The answer is no to both questions. Because if that's the way we are, we would not be honest before God, we would not be honest with ourselves, and we would be painting a wrong picture to those outside. We wouldn't be honest with them. We will struggle. If we're not honest with ongoing sin and don't deal with it on a daily basis, then we will struggle very seriously to empathize with people in our world who are struggling with sin. If we don't struggle, we can't empathize with those who do. And so to simply focus in on the joy, the celebration, and not to be grieved by the sin we or others commit, and yet to call ourselves citizens of the kingdom, is really self-deception. Then we are unable to genuinely experience true Christian joy, but we will be having a substitute joy instead. Yes, seriously. We live in a day and age when we want comfort and joy now. We want solutions immediately. And we're so much that way that we can easily settle for a counterfeit, a shallow type of joy. But before we can be joyful in the Lord, we must sincerely mourn our sinfulness and sin. We understand this is only the second beatitude. There are more characteristics of Christians coming that will talk about this. But the more we know Jesus Christ, the more we will be grieved by our falling far short of His glory. We'll be grieved by the sin that becomes so glaringly apparent in His presence. And without this conviction of sin, there will be no genuine conversion in our lives. Without mourning for our sin in the spiritual sense, we cannot be called blessed, because we will be unable to really be comforted. So we have to ask ourselves, what kind of mourning do we do for our sin? Is it the kind of mourning that knows the favor of God? Now again, don't get me wrong. This does not mean that we all have to sit here with long faces, not only in church, but when we talk to each other, when we go out in society. It doesn't hurt for people to see that we weep over our sin, but we don't have to walk around looking as, you know, we've got the weight of the world on our shoulders. What it does call for is a seriousness about sin. If our sorrow is genuine, Jesus is saying we will know the favor of God's comfort. When we are able to cry out for mercy before God, and we know Jesus, our righteousness, revealed from heaven, then we will have great joy because we have been forgiven. Out of sheer grace, God has granted us righteousness. I don't deserve it. I know my sin. Every day it is new. But I'm forgiven. How favored I am. Not because I mourn, but because I now see Jesus as he truly is. My only Savior and Lord. And seeing Jesus as the King who's coming to redeem his people, and seeing Jesus proclaiming that this is real, is the most marvelous blessing. And Jesus is saying, you see this in those who are poor in spirit and who mourn. It is mourning that is the means to bring this great blessing of freedom from the curse of sin. The comfort, we want to be clear on this, the comfort that Jesus is talking about does not come from the mourning itself. There are those who like to mourn. There are those who would say are constantly wringing their hands over their sin, or over the sin in the church, or over the sin in society. And they just love to talk about all the problems. There's no blessing in that. That only brings people down. But it's when we personally repent of sin and confess it before God that we are confronted by the news that in Jesus Christ a righteousness has been revealed from heaven, and he is, by his Spirit and Word, making all things new. It's a comfort that is given that comes from outside of ourselves. Unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom. The comfort is given by the Comforter, the Spirit of the living God. The Spirit to one who truly mourns applies the good news of the gospel and sets free from the load of guilt. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus, you see, presumes sin in our life to be a burden, something over which we are mourning. And to the sin-sick heart, Christ gives comfort and strength. And it's an ongoing comfort. Just as the sin is ongoing and the mourning's ongoing, so this comfort is an ongoing mourning. An ongoing comfort. The one who is continually sorry for sin is the one who can continually take and find refuge in the life, blood, death, and atoning work of Jesus Christ. Knowing that when we confess our sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's ongoing. That's every day anew, isn't it? Those who mourn under the chastening rod of God are comforted by the promise of Hebrews that afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. The one who grieves about the dishonor given to the Lord in this world is comforted by knowing that the time of Satan has been cut short. So Jesus goes up on the mountain and he proclaims to all the people the reality of the kingdom, saying, "Blessed are those who mourn. They will know God's favor. They will know God's comfort. The moment they are driven to their knees in sorrow and sincerely pray for mercy and turn to the Lord begging for forgiveness, they will know the comfort of the forgiveness of sins. They will know acceptance by God in Christ." This is a reality, Jesus is saying. It's a comfort that is ongoing for the rest of your life, even though tomorrow and the day after you struggle with your sin. There is a comfort in Christ. And the day of glory is coming when sin shall be no more, all things shall be made new, and tears will be wiped away and sin banished forever. And Revelation 7 speaks of those dressed in white robes singing praises to God. These are those who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. Never will they hunger or thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God shall wipe every tear from their eyes. Brothers and sisters, we who know Jesus Christ are those who have come out of the tribulation. We have suffered under the effects of our sin, and we mourn because of it. But we have been set free, and so we are blessed. Sometimes people wonder why we do not seem in our society to be overly persecuted, why we don't go through more tribulation, why it seems we don't have much to mourn about. Well, that may be because under the influence of the world and the beguilement of the evil one, we grow insensitive to sin and have developed a glibness or a jovial attitude of the world. Perhaps even like the world, we have learned to avoid this unpleasant subject in our daily living, focusing in only on what makes us happy and feel good. So the question then, if we have to ask ourselves, is have we allowed sin too much leeway so that we no longer see it in our lives as we ought? Jesus is proclaiming the radical reality of the kingdom of heaven today. This reality is seen and felt by those who are poor in spirit, know their helpless condition, and who mourn and grieve because of their condition. We grieve, but we're not morose. We know sorrow, but we're not miserable. We are sober or serious, but we're not a sullen people. We're serious, but we're not cold or negative. We're serious because we genuinely understand the weight of sin in our lives and world, but we're joyful because in Christ we know the freedom from guilt and the joy of God's favor. We're sorrowful for sin, and yet we rejoice in Jesus Christ to higher heights of joy day after day. Now we understand, he's just beginning his description here. These are just two aspects of what the kingdom said. He's going to go on and talk about meekness and hungering and thirsting, merciful and being pure, peacemakers, and then persecution. You see, and so on. Understand that what makes us radically different from the world is this taking of sin so seriously? Grieving and confessing it before God in Christ. Any of you who do not want to take your sin seriously, who do not want to the reality of sin in you or the effects of sin in your life, but you simply enjoy life with joy and mirth, constant pleasure, our Lord says to you, woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall be comforted. You shall laugh. If you want to take sin lightly now, that's your choice. But be assured, you're not going to take it lightly later. You'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Do you take this serious? Do you know Jesus Christ as your King? And do you see his reign being evident in your life? You know your poverty of spirit, and because through Christ sin seriously? Do you know his favor, his joy, because Christ has come and granted you salvation where you could not give it to you? Or do you tend to think, preacher, I make too much out of this? You tend to think, let's stop talking about sin. Let's have a little bit more of the joyfulness of Christianity. The question, I guess, is, do we know the joy and the comfort of Jesus Christ? Because while we talk of sin, we're no less joyful, because our joy is not in ourselves, and in our mourning, it's in Christ. Do we know the comfort of being in Christ? And if not, then we have not faced our poverty of spirit. Go back and meditate further on the first beatitude. But for those of us, because of our sin and the sin in this world, hear what Christ is saying. That God's favor is shown to those who confess their sins, who mourn. Just, the righteous shall live by faith. Blessed are those who mourn. They will be comforted. Amen.